Good afternoon, Patriots. This is Praying Medic. It is Wednesday, February 5th, and this is my latest QAnon broadcast. Those of you who are following along at home, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including qmap.pub, qalerts.app, and there are many other websites you can use to find Q posts. If you've got an Android device and you'd like to get updates from Q, you can get them on qmap app, the Q Alerts app. And I have heard, although I don't have an iPhone, that the Get Pushed app is still giving updates for iPhone users. So that's one option. My theme for this broadcast is, who are the real racists? Good question. I'm going to start out here with a little video clip of Jesse Jackson speaking about Donald Trump in 1999, that you listen to this video.
He is deceptive in that his social style is of such. One can miss his seriousness and his commitment, but his success is beyond argument. When we opened this Wall Street project and we talked about it, he gave us space at 40 Wall Street, which was to make a statement about our having a presence there. Beyond that, in terms of reaching out and being inclusive, he's done that too. And created for many people a comfort zone when I ran for the presidency in 84 and 88. And many others thought it was either laughable or something to avoid. He came to our business meeting here in New York, because he has this sense of the curious and a will to risk to make things better. And so aside from all of his style and his pizzazz, he's a serious person who is an effective builder of building for the builder of people. Last year, he was a part of our workshop, of our panel workshop on what are the challenges and opportunities. And so this, a year later, Donald Trump, for a few minutes, challenges and opportunities to embrace the underserved communities. Donald Trump.
Well, it is an honor to be here, and I was with Jesse last year, and we had a lot of fun, and it was a little different. We had a real panel where you asked questions and everything, and we didn't do so much speaking, so I'm going to get off here very quickly, because I want to hear some questions. Jesse started off by saying, most of the wealth in this country is in the hands of a few. And I thought to myself, is that a bad thing? What's wrong with that, Jesse? But he did have an expression last year. And I was just telling Roger. He had an expression last year, the wall on wall must fall.
And in a rare moment of transparency, Morning Joe shared his personal experiences with Donald Trump and his attitude toward race. I'll let you listen to this video.
We saw him for 12 years behind closed doors. Never, ever once, I'll say under oath, I'll put into an affidavit, never once heard him say anything close to being racially insensitive. Never once.
Although Donald Trump has often been accused lately of being a racist, that wasn't the case until he ran for president. Michael Beatty got cued for this video where Joe Biden introduced an African-American singer as Michael Jackson. Let you listen to this video.
Because y'all gonna stand up, we're gonna have some important people coming out in a minute, but there's one more band member that I want you to meet. Ladies and gentlemen, our vocals tonight, Michael Jackson. Michael, would you please stand? Thank you very much. Soon to become Prince, as I was just pointed out to me.
And of course, let's not forget Hillary Clinton's remarks about super predators.
But we also have to have an organized effort against gangs. Just as in a previous generation, we had an organized effort against the mob. We need to take these people on. They are often connected to big drug cartels. They are not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heel. And
so Q posted links to the Biden and Hillary Clinton videos. Q wrote, "Open your eyes to see the real truth. Who are the real racists?" Q. We're going to go back in time here a little bit. On January 22nd, Q posted this message, "Castle Clean." And of course, there's a meme here with the president standing between two Marines. I took that to mean that disloyal people had been or maybe currently are being removed from the White House. I found it interesting last night after the State of the Union message, the president's national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, did an interview with Laura Ingraham. If you have a chance to catch that interview, it's a very good interview. What I found particularly interesting was his comments on trimming down the National Security Council. I'll let you listen to this video.
Because when you work at the NSC or on the personal staff of the president, and so it's always disappointing to me when I hear that there are people who believe their job is to resist the democratically elected president of the United States. I mean, they're there as his personal staff. If he can't rely on them to implement his policies, the policies the American people elected him to fulfill.
So are you cleaning house?
Look, what I said when I came to the NSC is that I would drastically downsize it. It had ballooned up to 236 policy professionals from 100 under Condi Rice. We're going to get back to the Condi Rice, Steve Hadley NSC, and we're very close to being there. Another week or two, I think we'll have met our goals.
Not Condi Rice in agenda, but Condi Rice in size?
Condi Rice in size. I mean, when I spoke with Condi, she said we were fighting the global war on terror, Afghanistan, Iraq, and everything else, and we did it with 100 policy professionals. We're trying to get back to that size.
And did it grow under John Bolton? Or?
Primarily under President Obama. It really ballooned up from about 110 to 236 policy professionals. I kind of laugh. When President Kennedy took office, he fired all of Dwight Eisenhower's policy professionals, I think 70 of them at the NSC, and got along with 12 people. He handled the Cuban Missile Crisis with 12 policy professionals. So it's bloated. We're going to bring it back to a size that's manageable and efficient. And look, the folks who are there really need to want to serve the president.
Since it's apparent that some of the intel leaks have caused problems for the president, I think getting rid of some people on the National Security Council, especially people who do not follow the president's agenda, is probably a really good idea. All right. Back on January 28th, all of about a week ago, Q posted this message, "The best is yet to come." And of course, the president finished off the State of the Union address last night with that very message. Let you listen to this video.
America is the place where anything can happen. America is the place where anyone can rise. And here, on this land, on this soil, on this continent, the most incredible dreams come true. This nation is our canvas, and this country is our masterpiece. We look at tomorrow and see unlimited frontiers just waiting to be explored. Our brightest discoveries are not yet known. Our most thrilling stories are not yet told. Our grandest journeys are not yet made. The American age, the American epic, the American adventure has only just begun. Our spirit is still young. The sun is still rising. God's grace is still shining. And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
I listened to the entire message last night. It was very inspiring. If you have a chance and you haven't listened to the State of the Union message, I would recommend listening to the whole thing. You can find it on a number of different YouTube channels. All right, I posted this video last night, and I was queued for it, actually. It was late. It was like 11 o'clock last night, and Q posted a link to my tweet, so I'll let you listen to this video.
California, good evening to you. What's your reaction to the speech?
I agree wholeheartedly with the other callers. I am a Democrat as well, but no longer will I vote Democrat. I think it's outrageous that they sat there when all these good things are happening to our country and how much we love our country, and they looked like they hated our country. And Nancy Pelosi, the whole time she's sitting up there with a disgusting look on her face, It's outrageous. I will never vote Democrat again, and I'm sick of it, and my whole family feels the same way. My husband, my friends are sitting here, all former Democrats. We all voted for Hillary last time, and therefore, never, ever will we ever vote Democrat again.
Now,
there are actually a lot of Democrats who are outraged at the way members of Congress sat and resisted the good news that the president gave in the State of the Union address last night. These people are not alone. There's a lot of them. I think it's going to make a huge difference. Q posted a link to my tweet and wrote, "What happens when the mass population witnesses with no political spin," in brackets, "the fake news cannot censor State of the Union address, the anti-American actions of the left firsthand. The silent war continues." Very interesting that, you know, if you tune into CNN and MSNBC, you'll get a 15 or 20 second clip of the president speaking on a video, and then you get 10 or 15 or 20 minutes of anti-Trump propaganda that shapes that narrative. But when people get to listen to the president for an hour speak without interruption, with no spin, it gives them a very different impression of the president. And I think we're going to see a groundswell of support from independents and Democrats and people who formerly weren't too sure about Trump. I think there's going to be a big change in the coming months. CBS and CNN both reported a 76% approval rating when they did their polls regarding the State of the Union message last night. So people who don't typically see the president very favorably thought the State of the Union message was very good. Dan Scavino got cued. Scavino helps manage the president's social media accounts. He posted this image last night as the president was preparing for the State of the Union address. Note here, you can see in the as the president's walking out through the tunnel in God We Trust, and then there's a flag in the background. So Scavino posted that on Twitter last night. I actually retweeted that before Q posted it. I just thought it was great. And then Q reposts Scavino's picture and a link to his Twitter status and writes, "Sometimes the past can find the future." Q. All right. Well, and Anon remembered that on February 1st, Q posted a flag with the file name "In God We Trust." What a coincidence. So this is the original image from February 1st. Like I said, the file name was "In God We Trust" and a flag. Dan Scavino posted this last night on Twitter. I heavily suspect Scavino is on the team. It would be very difficult with all the zero deltas between Q and Trump if Scavino is not somehow involved in the process. So I always say I don't know who Q is, but there are some suspects who are definitely high on the list. So after the Anon posted this flag, Q responded, "Sometimes the future can find the past." Q. Future proves past. And then we have Q posted a link to a YouTube video. It is a law-abiding citizen. Little clip. It's going to be biblical. Yeah, let you listen to this video.
"I'm going to pull the whole thing down. I'm going to bring the whole fucking diseased, corrupt temple down on your head. It's going to be biblical."
I know it's taking a long time, but the removal of corruption is coming. Let's see. We got this post here from the handle is Still Gray. Ian Miles Chong discovered that George Soros was the largest financial contributor or supporter of Shadow, the company that developed the app for the Iowa caucus disaster. The Anon wrote, in case anybody missed it, "It will surprise no one to learn that Soros is the number one funding source behind Shadow." So Q reposted that post from the Anon. Then this is an old post from 2017. Q wrote, "We have a special place picked out for George Soros. Really special." And Anon posted an excerpt from an article about the Democrats' decision to sit last night while Republicans stood and applauded the president during the State of the Union. And the title of the article is, "Remember That Democrats Sat While You Were Celebrating Last Night." I end a lot of articles about how the Democrats really feel about you by telling you to vote accordingly. But Trump's State of the Union speech highlighted the Democrats' utter contempt for President Donald Trump, you, and this country last night as they sat through almost every applause line that celebrated you doing well. As the GOP highlighted in a video they posted to Twitter, the Democrats heard about the all-time low unemployment levels of black community, the Hispanic community, young adult community, and more. This should be a reason to celebrate. We should see our elected leaders getting to their feet and showing support. But instead, only half the room decided to stand. The other half, the Democrats, sat still, arms folded, and practically seethed at times. Reminder for Democrats, it's okay to applaud good news. And there's a link to the article. You can check that out on Red State. Q responded with a photo of some of the Democrats wearing their little white outfits, checking their phones, plucking their eyebrows, sleeping, whatever they're doing. Weren't too interested in hearing about the country's success. And it's not just the president that is succeeding, it's the nation that is succeeding. And these people really do not love our country. It's kind of sad to see this. Q posted this morning a meme, "Panic in DC," in theaters now. Do people actually believe that those responsible for the attempted coup attempt of a duly elected sitting U.S. president will go unpunished? End to our constitutional republic? No equal justice under the law? No accountability? Escape unscathed? Buckle up, Q. There are a lot of people who believe that nothing's going to change. They believe no one will be arrested. I see comments on Twitter all the time, "I'll see it when I believe it. No one's going to get indicted." A lot of people have been programmed to think, because during their entire lifetime, wealthy, powerful people have escaped justice. So it's easy to think that nothing's going to change. But Q has continually reminded us, these people are going to be held accountable for their actions. There will be equal justice under the law, or it is the end of our constitutional republic. Just prior to the 2018 election, Hillary Clinton encouraged incivility until her party regained control. I'll let you listen to this video.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
Q posted a link to a tweet with the above video and a photo of Antifa burning an American flag. These people really do hate our country. Q posted this, Revival, Q, link to a YouTube video. It is Revival, orchestral instrumentation, epic background music. I'm not going to play this video because of copyright issues, but if you want to listen to it, you can find it on YouTube. The world is united and the world is changing. I don't know about you, but I can definitely feel it, especially after last night. This is an old post from Q, "Election Theft, Last Hope, Congressional Focus, Impeach. They think you are stupid. They think you will follow the stars. They openly call you sheep, cattle. There will come a time when none of them will be able to walk down the street. Their biggest fear, public awakening." Nancy Pelosi ripping up the State of the Union speech after all of the people were honored last night, the old and the young, military veterans, children, and the Democrats showed their absolute contempt for our country and hatred of our leaders. Sad day in history, but we will move on. People are wondering, where do we go now that the president has been acquitted? Well, Q has reminded us that Chairman Graham, it is time. The Senate was the target. I'm going to be looking at hearings in Senate Judiciary under Lindsey Graham, Senate Homeland Security under Ron Johnson, and Senate Finance Committee under Chuck Grassley. They've got multiple investigations going on. Investigations into corruption related to Ukraine, investigations into FISA abuse. Now that the Senate is done with the impeachment trial, they can get back to holding their hearings. Those hearings will be publicly televised, and the Great Awakening is a matter of making the public aware of corruption. So that's the next step in the process. I think before we see the indictments unsealed, we need to have some of these public hearings. We need to wake the people up, let them know about the level of corruption. And we just got this in from Q. We just posted a link to a document, a PDF upload. It's a letter from Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson. I read the document. It is, it's a letter to the director of the Secret Service requesting all documents related to government travel and security details that were provided for Hunter Biden during the time that he was arranging business transactions in China and Ukraine. So this letter is dated today. Looks like Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson are wasting no time. They're going to get to the bottom of this corruption related to China and Ukraine. And that gets us all caught up to Q. If you are looking for a red pill for your friends, family members, my book, Calm Before the Storm, the first volume in the Q Chronicles, is now available through Barnes & Noble as well as Amazon. Actually, it should be available through all major retailers now. Thank you all for keeping me and Denise in prayer. Please keep the president in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Love you all. Take care. I will catch you on the next broadcast.